Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We've got to say hello and welcome in our audience in Richmond for the first time today. With us for the next 3 hours, they're listening on AM 910, FM 105.1. Everyone else has been listening the last hour on the flagship in and around D.C., 106.7 The Fan. We appreciate you, and thank you very much for being part of the program today. Taking you up to 6:30 and overtime. We'll keep it live and local this evening. No Nats baseball until tomorrow. They are off, and they've got a brand new series starting at home tomorrow night. More on that as we go today. But let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. We've got a Super Bowl champion to talk to, one of the great offensive minds and play callers in league history. Mike Martz is joining us on Grant and Danny. Broke down Sam Howell's film for the 33rd team. Just tweeted out a link. You could check it out when the interview's over in just a few minutes. Mike, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us in D.C. How are you?
I'm good. It's my pleasure.
Really appreciate it, Mike. Let's start with what you liked about Sam Howell. There wasn't much game tape in Washington to go over, I suppose. Only that one start, I guess preseason as well. But what did you see from his North Carolina tape and what you've seen here in Washington that you think, hey, this could be something?
Well, I think you start with the skill level. You just got to make sure that, you know, his skill level, he's really good enough. And it starts with, above everything else, accuracy. And he has that. I mean, he's a guy with strong legs that can drive the ball when he wants to, but he can be very accurate on the deep ball. He's got touch. He can make all those throws, at least that's from what I've seen on tape. And he's a tough guy. He's very competitive. I know he's got a high motor. I'm sure he demands respect from guys just because he's a very intense player. And that intensity, though, if not bridled, I think I'm in trouble a little bit in college. I think, you know, the mistakes that he made in college are just a question of being, you know, undisciplined more than anything else. And in a more of a structured deal in the NFL and with the right guy, I think, I was surprised. I didn't realize he had that kind of ability and was that promising. But when I looked at him here in that last game, he was remarkably different. I think the Commanders did a terrific job with him. Kenny Zampezi, in terms of the footwork, and all of a sudden the tempo of his drop really increased, and his eyes were where they're supposed to be, and he wasn't trying to do stuff they shouldn't do, which he did a lot in college. I mean, he had a lot of dumb plays where he tried to extend the play, he had no business fumbling the ball and doing those kinds of things. So there's a lot there to deal with, and after looking at the tape, and especially the last game against the Cowboys there's enough on the tape to really say, there's something to this guy. You know, I think more than anything, he has to learn the discipline of the game. And the only thing I don't know is the read and react thing, how quick he can see and digest things and react to it without having to think about it. And that's how you play the game, you know. But he's got some truly unique things that the really good ones got to have. Watched him. He's a guy, and they don't come along very often, that can be off balance and will throw the ball through windows, you know, the pass rush lanes instead of trying to throw it over the guy's head. He can throw the ball accurately off on one leg, the Patrick Mahomes kind of thing. And I've seen him do it many times, and I was kind of astonished at it. He just does it, you know. And I think the best thing that possibly happened to him in his whole career is that he did go to the Commanders and that Eric Bieniemy is going to be his coach. And, you know, the discipline of what they do and the complexity of their passing game will change him absolutely. And it'll be exciting to see, you know, how it takes him to get into the groove of things. But I wouldn't expect it to take too long. But I think it's a perfect match for them. You know, when you get a guy with that kind of talent and potential that's just he's very raw and disciplined, and you put him with somebody that of Eric's caliber and knowledge and ability to teach, I think only good things are going to happen there.
Mike Martz on Grant and Danny. When you studied all the college film you were talking about, what do you make of him going in the fifth round? Like, what kind of draft grade would you have given him, and what do you think about where he ended up coming off the board?
Well, I thought that was awful low I probably would have looked at him as being, a third round pick or maybe late two. The thing that hurt him so bad was first of all, he's not real tall, and the guys, all of a sudden one guy's 6'4 and all that. But the biggest thing is some of the dumb plays that he had. He'd be going along great guns, and then, you know, he's trying to hang on to the ball, and he's in the grasp, and he tried to make a throw, and gets batted and intercepted or fumbled and run back. And he had a lot of those. And I think that hurt him. I think it really did hurt him. But I think with the discipline of the NFL and how they approach the game with that position, he didn't do those things in that last game. You could see him, you know, a couple times when he took off of it, he wanted to, he kind of wanted to go up on his own, and then, nope, he did the right thing, ran out of bounds or – threw the ball away. And those are the things he's going to have to learn. But to answer your question, I really don't know. You know, it's why did Tom Brady, go when he went? Who knows? It's just the flavor, it happens. And that's what makes the game so good is it's not predictable. And these guys, can come through. And hopefully he has a great career.
One of the great offensive minds in league history, Mike Martz, joins us here on Grant and Danny. And, Mike, what about Eric Bieniemy's system specifically? Do you see as kind of a nice mesh point with what Sam Howell does well right now?
Well, it has the ability to do anything at any time. You know, it's not a system where this is just what you do every week. And those things, you can have success, and then when people catch on to it, it just kind of shuts you down a little bit. So this thing will transform over the week into transition into different things every week. And once he learns it, and that's the big issue, is he's got to learn it so well he doesn't have to think about it. And that doesn't come right away. For quarterbacks, even the brightest guys, it takes a little bit of time, But once he gets it and understands it and has a discipline to run that system, there couldn't be a better guy, to have running that system right now than Eric. I think it's just a perfect match.
Mike Martz did a great breakdown. The 33rd team, you can check out. I tweeted it out at Grant H. Paulson. Danny tweeted it out at Funny Danny, joining us to discuss Sam Howell. From an evaluation standpoint of a quarterback, how much should we be able to take out of preseason play? Because he played a ton last August. We were really impressed. But it is exhibition games. And then his only game was in Week 18. And in baseball, there's this adage about, not falling for what happens in September when teams are out of contention. I wonder if there's anything like that in football. I know the Cowboys needed that game that day for at least a couple quarters, but the Commanders were playing free and easy and had been eliminated. Is there any worry about, putting too many eggs in either a preseason or, a Week 18 basket with your intel?
When you line up that ball gets snapped, whether it's preseason or not, and I know the intensity is a little bit different. There's no question, but not for the quarterback. I think the speed is still very high. The competition level is still very high. But just the having to get back and make decisions and good throws, regardless, preseason or not, that's why it's so different for quarterbacks. And that's why he just looks so different just in that one year from his college days. And it just kind of blew me away that transition, the discipline that he's starting to develop now, and the buy-in, and just talking to those coaches there too, because I called them afterwards, and the thing that they're just kind of taken by is aside from the ability and whatnot, and is who he is and how much respect he commands from the players. Players love him, evidently, and players don't feel that way about guys that aren't tough and committed. You just don't. if they know he's all in and he'll do anything he can to win, and he's that kind of competitor, because the best competitor in your team needs to be your quarterback early. And just watch him, you can see that. The thing I loved about him that jumped off the tape, that when I looked at Kurt Warner over in the Europe League, that was very evident, is he's a tough guy. He'd get beat up, he'd bounce right up. He'll make throws with a guy just having an arm coming down across his head, you know. He just stands in there and grits his teeth and just makes it, you know. And those guys are hard to come by now. And I think that I really think he's going to really grow a great deal here this year with the potential of really being a special player. I really believe that, because – and I think if Eric Bieniemy wasn't there, it's not going to grow like, you know, like I said, I think maybe it's going to be something else. But I think it's a perfect storm right there.
Coach, how would you handle a young passer like this? Just sort of philosophically. I remember, you know, all those years when your offenses were so effective, it was just, we're flooding the zone with receivers, man. If you want to try to come after us, you're probably going to get beat. And, you know, maybe you hit my quarterback a time or two, but you're going to have to dust yourself up and run back 20, 30, 40 yards, you know, after a big play of sorts. How would you handle a guy that's sort of still getting his feet wet in this league, even with the talent and the good attributes we're talking about here with Hal? What would you do to sort of make him as successful as possible early on and try to build?
So when you put things in with him, he's got to have complete understanding of what's going on. If he doesn't, he can't move forward with newer things. You know what I mean? So you got to give him a lot of snaps in camp and, you know, make sure that he's grounded in all the blitz protections. And what I did with the young quarterbacks, and I just kept that throughout my career in the league, and I got this from Ernie Zampezi, is I never put the protections on the quarterback. You got too much to worry about. So you just get back. Know if there's a blitz, if you got to hot it or side adjust it. That's number one. But just get back and figure out who to throw the ball to and make a good throw. That's enough. You know, we don't have Omaha, too. Yeah, over here. Yeah, we're Ringo. Mike over there. You get back to him, he snaps the ball. He's drunk, you know. So I think the biggest deal there is you take as much off the plate of the young guy. You know, the center can call the protections. Our center's always called out the protections. You know, and I think just make sure you understand where the ball's supposed to go in the coverage. See the coverage. Get back in time. Set your feet. Make a good decision, a good throw. That's where it all starts. And then if you want to start moving some things on, some check with me's and stuff of that nature, that's fine. But be very careful about all the extra outside of just throwing the football that you ask him to do.
Mike, how much would you ask Sam Howell to run this year? He ran for 100 yards 7 times in his final year at North Carolina and showed the ability to make plays with his feet in Week 18 last year.
Well, the conversation I'd have with him is, that's nice. And occasionally, in a critical situation, you feel it's man-to-man coverage and you get the first down, that's fine. But you're going to make a living in this league by how well you throw the football and how good you are at it, and you have to understand that.
But in terms of designed, like read option, you wouldn't do a lot of that with him.
You know, see, here's the thing about that to me. You've got so much invested in the quarterback in that respect. You know, if he's a great passer, if he's got some really terrific skill, and I think Sam has got some unusual skill, and when it's fully developed, I mean, why would you ask Patrick Mahomes to run?
I wouldn't.
I mean, or you know, and that's the point. I think when it's just an average passer or whatever, I think you make him an unusual passer with that kind of talent. If he has that talent, I think he is unusual. So I think that's where you head with it. Get as much out of him as you can on that, see how good he can be, and if he can make some plays, run the ball. But to put a run play in for him, that's why they pay those running backs, you know.
Coach, you touched on this earlier, some of those, you know, hero plays when three different guys are draped all over him and he's trying to still make a throw here and there. But I'd love for you to go into a little bit more weaknesses you see right now, or maybe areas you think he can improve, talking Sam Howell.
So the only thing I can't really evaluate, because there's not enough of it, is, you know, when he gets back in the zone and you have a number of receivers, you know, they're crossing or whatever, you have a high low or whatever, his ability to read things and use his eyes and make quick decisions, good decisions, quick decisions, you know, and that decision making into the zone against man to man, you got a man beater over there on every play. Hey, on this play, if it's man to man, we're going over here. That's easy. But when you have like a cover six or cover two or three or whatever it is, and you're working a dig and a drag with a check down to the back coming out of the backfield, and you want him to hold his eyes and move the back a bit, you know, how well he does that and, you know, how disciplined he is and not trying to hold it and make the throw, but just checking it down, you know. And I saw that in the last game. He checked it down three times. I was astonished because I just didn't think he'd do it, but he did it, you know, and on third downs. And so I think it's probably there. You know, that's the only gray area is how good he is at just the decision-making aspect of it. But the rest of it's there. I mean, it's hard to find guys that have his ball skills to begin with and then are tough guys and compete at a high level. I'm convinced he's an extraordinary competitor. I just think he's a very intense guy. That works against him because he won't give up on a play. You just got to teach him the discipline of that. But how well he reads things and gets the ball out remains a little bit to be seen, but he did enough of it in that last game against the Cowboys where I think there's a nice shining light there someplace.
Mike Martz, coordinator, one of the best offenses ever. Had a heck of a run as a head coach, too. 53-32. About 63% of his games were wins as a head coach in his time in the NFL. Hey, just a quick nerd question, and I know it's different based on defense and situation and all these things, but what was your favorite play to call?
Four verticals. I love that play.
Four verts.
Four verts. But is it that simple as like four verts, or are you like building?
It's called 99. It's his double right or left, ace 99. Get back and get your four verticals, and based on the coverage, you know where the ball's going to go.
Dictating terms.
Yeah, I mean, so if it's covered two, you're into the boundary. You're trying to move the safety. If you don't move the safety, then the ball kicks outside immediately. You know, those kinds of things. And if it's man-to-man, then you're on the outside, and you like you pick the matchup. You know, and your talk with the quarterback pregame in that week is, you know, we like to, if we get go routes, we want this guy and that guy. That's the guy we want. That's where you go. You hold the safety as long as you can, kick it out there. You know, and then if it's cover three, you're trying to move the safety and hit the crease, you know, those kinds of things. So on every coverage, there's something different for the quarterback to do. And when he does it properly and everybody's good, then they're always touchdowns or huge plays.
What about, let's say, like you got a fourth and five. Is there like a play in the middle of the field for like 8-9 yards that you called more than any other?
You know, actually on a fourth and five, to be honest with you, and I know it's going to sound stupid, but on a fourth and five, what will the defense do? They're going to play 5 yards. We're going to go over the top. Might as well. You know, you got the best chance of completing that as you do 5 yards, right? I mean, you know, my last year when I coached the Bears, we get into fourth and two, and we threw probably 60% of our third and one or fourth and ones were touchdowns. You know, they were just, you know, the safety's down, the corners, they know you. They're just convinced that you're just going to run it up in there or it's going to be a slant or some dumb thing. And last thing in the world they expect is throw it over. You know, in our playoff game against the Seahawks, when I was with Chicago there, it was a cold, cold day. And I just remember the safety on third and three, the strong safety on Greg Olsen there, the strong safety on tape, if it was a third and less than six, he sat right there. He didn't move. He was going to jump the tight end. He was going to hook or turn that. We were in right by him for a 50-yarder, you know. Yeah, so we're in the end zone in four plays. So that was good. Those when you can predict.
You guys scored 35 that day.
Yeah, when you predict what the animal on the other side there, if you can show him a piece of meat and get him to growl and jump, then it's good. Yeah, you're going to have a good day. And some are predictable. You look at some players on tape and they can't help themselves. They're going to peek and look and. So you give them a little pump and go, those kinds of things. So those are always fun to do. But they're really great teams and disciplined teams like Belichick. Those are hard to get.
58-yard touchdown to Olsen on that play, by the way.
And
I'm
bad.
Looking it up now.
That's funny. Mike, this is really a treat, man. Really appreciate it. Great breakdown of Sam Howe, man. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me. Enjoyed it. You guys, take care.
Thank you.
Thanks,
33rd
Mike.
Team is where you can go find his work. 33rd Team's doing some awesome stuff. They got a bunch of former GMs and coaches doing really sharp breakdowns.
So just thinking about Bartz's career, right? Just awesome in St. Louis. Obviously, we know the score. But there were years where he's probably calling the game the same way. It probably didn't work when you got John Kitna and, like, you know, Sean, what was that guy's name in San Francisco? Like Harris?
Remember Sean that guy? O'Hara?
Sean, I can't remember.
The Maryland guy?
No, it was
Sean Hill.
Sean Hill, yeah.
He went to Maryland.
Yeah, it's not the same. know what I mean? It's like Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer. You can call your third and four verts or get over the top or
so
Jay Cutler
here,
with an arm.
You know, in 97 and 98.
Yeah.
In Washington, coaching quarterbacks. And so I didn't realize this, just looking it up now. I'm guessing Trent Green flourished under him, and that's why Trent Green chose to go to St. Louis. And it was Green who got hurt at the beginning of the Kurt Warner story and movie, literally and figuratively. Or Trent Green. Ended up having a heck of a career in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, ended up finally getting right, yeah.
He would hand the ball off to a guy named Priest Holmes early in that Kansas City time.
Just winning fantasy titles for people.
He was my fantasy running back for like six straight years.
Of course he was.
Loved Priest Holmes. Good Sam Howell conversation, though, and that makes you feel good about the quarterback. I'm getting some tweets here from people who are steamed up right now for Sam Howell. Brian says, all right, well, sounds like we have an MVP quarterback.
Here we go.
Why not?
Four verts.
So Dan Graziano of ESPN.com actually today wrote a question for every team's quarterback situation. Want to get into what he said about Howell and the Commanders. We could do that next on G&D here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.